Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Dark Spectrum. Last week we read, my finger was hesitating over her number when a notification came across the top of the screen. It was a news alert that I had set for my own name. When I clicked on it, I found a video. I held it close so I could keep the volume low while I watched. The speaker was a female news anchor. I'd seen her before but couldn't remember her name. Known terrorist Jake Ramsey released a video message today on social media. My stomach sunk as it switched to a clip of me. The people of this city have not believed me. The voice sounded like mine, and the lips moved with ease, but I had never before uttered those words in my life. The image of me smiled at the camera. It was an evil smile. My eyes seemed to shimmer. Crazy eyes. Whoever had done this had given me crazy eyes. So be it, the voice said. It is time Diagon learn their lesson. And now, Chapter 13. I moved out of the flow of foot traffic while I fished in my bag for a pair of earbuds. Once I was right up against a stone building, I replayed the video several times, looking for a clue that might give me an idea of who had done this. Had Reed Warner done this because I had refused to work with him? Using the data they got from Spectrum and facial recognition technology, had they been able to make an almost perfect copy of me? Peck would have been my first thought if not for everything going on with Reed, but I could not rule him out. He wasn't above hurting his own company to garner sympathy and public opinion. Bill Martinez crossed my mind as a possibility. I had not seen him since the day I had shot Beltran, but we had had a brief phone conversation. I did not think it was likely Martinez was behind this, but considering the way he'd let Payne rampage through the city unchecked, I wasn't about to cross him off my suspect list either. What about Chris or Shannon? That was my paranoia speaking. I was reasonably sure, but didn't dismiss it out of hand. Somebody had just put me in the crosshairs, and I wasn't about to take anything for granted. The background behind my false image was dark, but I could make out the hood of a car. I couldn't be positive, but it looked like there were several others as well. Was it an underground parking garage? I pushed play for the third time. The words of the video were seamless, and my lips moved so naturally it might have been easy to believe I had said such a thing and just didn't remember it. I reached the end of the video and was about to watch it again when I noticed my image moved when it laughed, showing an exit sign in the background for a brief second. I recognized the place. I had been there before. It was the old Diagon headquarters where Shannon had been kidnapped. I pulled out my phone, thinking I would call and warn somebody. But who could I call? Chris might not answer. I pushed her hard, and she had not been happy. She had recognized the Spectrum app had located me, but had doubted me about the men in suits. I could try Shannon, but it was unlikely she would take my call either. Even if she did, the video was convincing enough, there was a good chance she would believe it. The tone was all wrong, but she might just think I had changed. She knew so little about the last 6 months. Maybe she would think I had decided to become the terrorist I was accused of being. My hand was reaching into my bag for my burner phone when a message popped up from Cherry on the screen of my smartphone. It was even more urgent than the last one. I could feel her screaming at me through the message. I had not responded to a single one, and she had sent over 50. Maybe it was time to see what she wanted. Relenting, I punched her number into my burner phone, sliding my smartphone into my pocket. It would look unseemly to be holding two phones. "Who is this?" Cherry asked, her voice thick, like she had not slept the night before. I could feel her anxiety. "It's me," I said, lowering my voice and speaking gruffly. I wasn't going to risk saying my name aloud. I hoped she would recognize me, and the people passing by with their phones in their pockets would not. "Stop sending the messages." She hesitated, and I was afraid she would say my name, but she did not. "Took you frickin' long enough." "Have you seen the video?" I asked. "Just came through," she said. "It's been flagged priority one." It wasn't me. My voice was scratchy. A man stared at me as he passed. He was a short fellow with a bald head. I waited for him to disappear before continuing. It was filmed at the old Daigon headquarters. Evacuate the building. We already figured that out, Cherry sniffed. What took you so long? I did not hear the rest because an explosion covered what she said. The rumbling roar lasted for several seconds. I swore it was close. I had not realized I was a couple blocks away from the old Daigon building. The others on the street looked towards the sound, trying to figure out what was happening. A cloud of dust and smoke rose into the sky, even as it filled the street, engulfing everything in front of me. Like a fast-moving wave, it came towards us, advancing and filling all available space. A woman who had been walking her dog stared in shock and horror. Her feelings echoed my own. She turned to run, and the others did as well. I stood with my feet frozen, my phone stuck to my ear. "Are you there?" Cherry asked. "What happened?" "We are too late," I said. "What happened?" Her voice wasn't thick any longer. It was sharp. She was alert. "You had better start talking," she said. I wanted to head towards Ground Zero, but considering this had just been blamed on me, I wasn't about to do such a foolish thing. It was one thing to be caught in the middle of an explosion and stay to help. It was quite another to run into the chaos when I knew I was the one blamed for it. I could not help but imagine all the horror and destruction. I curled my hand around my phone until it dug into my palm. I could not let whoever had done this get away with it. "The old Daigon building has been bombed," I said, turning to run along with the others. I could not afford to gawk any longer. I needed to look like a normal person. I jogged at a brisk pace, matching my movements to theirs. I wasn't the only person on the phone, so I didn't stick out. I supposed it was natural to make a call after something like this happened. A man passed in front of me, his face pale. I wanted to make my own cheeks as white as his. It would have been more convincing. The dust cloud was large and made me think of how the World Trade Towers had fallen in September of 2001. I had been just a boy, and the footage had given me nightmare for months. I remembered how my adopted mother had comforted me, assuring me we were safe. The memory made me sick. She had remarried and had a new family. The real thing, not like the fake family I had been a part of. "Were you behind this?" Cherry asked, her voice strained. "I'm offended you think it's possible," I said. A man darted in front of me, clutching a baby to his chest. I made room for him, but a woman to the side of me did not, and he tripped. I grabbed his arm to steady him. He looked me in the eye. His panic-stricken face had a wordless yell on his lips. The infant screamed at the top of his lungs. The man shrugged off my hand and forced his way into the crowd. I felt sorry for him and hoped he'd make it away. He looked more animal than man, consumed by fear. "You're not the same man you were," Cherry said, oblivious to what was going on around me. "I don't know what you're capable of anymore." I almost ended the call right there, my finger hesitating over the button on my phone. "You know me," I said savagely. There was a lengthy pause. "You're right," she said. "That was not fair." I was not sure I believed her, but the hostility had left her voice. The woman with the dog ran past me. Others in the street did the same. I would have gone faster, but I did not want to risk hurting somebody because I was distracted by my phone. "I'm sorry, Jake. You didn't do this. I know that." She said it to flatter me. I could tell by her tone. She had also just said the one thing I wished she would not have said. "My name." I winced, wanting to chastise her, but that would only garner more attention if the call was being monitored. I would have to discard the burner phone and activate another. I was probably being too cautious, but it was better not to risk it. Despite all the flack I'd gotten at Blackbrick for being reckless, I always believed in minimizing risks wherever possible. I hate to ask for a favor, Cherry said, and I know the timing is bad, but I need your help. "You do realize I'm dealing with a fallout from a bomb, don't you?" A scruffy-looking teenager darted ahead of me and snagged a woman's purse. She turned, but the boy slipped away and disappeared before she could catch him. Ordinarily, I might have stopped the boy, but I didn't have a hand free and wasn't about to chase him down in the middle of all of this. Cherry growled. "If you'd have called me when you got my first message, we would have had this conversation hours ago. Look, Jake, I'm not an idiot. What happened was terrible, but there's nothing we can do about it now. I have a problem." She sounded scared. Very scared. I sighed. "What is it, Cherry?" I put out a hand to brace myself on the shoulder of a man beside me because a large guy on the other side had pushed by. "What's going on?" "Martinez," she said. "Peck is going after him." "Not a surprise," I said. It was inevitable Peck would come after both of us. He was a man who didn't like to leave loose ends. If he hadn't come after us yet, it was because it still suited his purposes to leave us free. "Have you warned him?" "I don't have any way to contact him," she said. "We haven't spoken for some time." I waited for what she was going to say next, but she did not speak. Was she going to make me spell it out for her? "You want me to tell him," I said, finishing the thought and hopping over a bag of groceries that somebody had lost in the shuffle. "It would mean so much," she said. "No. I had nothing to gain from this and a lot to lose. There was no benefit to me. Martinez and I were not friends. Given the right circumstance, I might agree to work with him on a project, but I did not believe in his methods. Not to mention the city was going to be on high alert. Everybody with a badge was going to be looking for me after today." "You don't..." I cut her off. "What's Peck's plan? Are they going to kill him?" "I don't know," she said. I looked back down the street. The dust was starting to settle, but moving out. I'd made it far enough to avoid the initial wave. Both cars and people were moving again. In moments, the chaos would be a lot worse. Who had done this to me? Peck or Reed? I needed answers. I could turn to Chris, but with the fake video being so prominent, it would be better to wait for her to come to me. She would. Of that I had no doubt. She was unable to stay away. I just wish I knew whether it was her own motivation or something her boss was having her do. I hated she was my only source for information. I needed another. I had an opportunity here with Cherry, if I was careful. She could be useful as a source if I were able to turn this Martinez issue into a way of recruiting her. Letting out a sigh, I shook my head, hating what I was about to propose, but it was time to roll the dice. If I did not make a move, events were going to outpace me. I needed somebody with greater resources. "Are you just worried about them killing him?" I asked. "Will it be okay if they bring him in alive?" "I don't want him to die," she said. "I can live with the other." I waited for a long moment. I would not be able to back out if I went forward with what I was thinking. "Here's what I'll do," I said. "I will spy on the extraction team. If it looks like they're going to kill him, I'll do what I can to stop it on one condition." I took a deep breath. "Peck is looking to buy Data Raider. I want you to tell me everything you know about the deal. Keep me updated on anything you hear about it." "Jake," she said. I cringed with her use of my name. It was the third time. I had no idea if Spectrum was connected to the actual phone system, but I'd heard rumors that claimed the government had made a deal with Daigon. It was not too much of a stretch. "How do you know about that?" she asked. "Do we have a deal?" I asked. She did not hesitate. "We do. Send me a different number using the method you used to contact me in the first place," I said. "I'm ditching this phone." "Be careful what you say. People are listening." I didn't wait for her to answer and hoped she would figure out what I meant. I ripped open the phone and tore out the battery. I sent the phone down a drain and the battery into the trash before I flipped up the collar of my blazer to warm my neck as I got lost in the crowd. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.